You have one down at Point Pleasant. What was that? Exactly. Do you know the one that was up in Pleasance County, West Virginia? What was it? The Wampus Beast. Oh, yeah. That was the one up there. If you ever watch any shows on television here recently, Mountain Men, Mountain Monsters. If you've ever seen that show, they went and hunted this thing down. It's like a 500-pound dog-like creature. I don't know. I'm just telling you. These are urban legends. Or how about the devil dog from up in Harrison County? West Virginia is packed full of urban legends, by the way. It is packed full of... I went out online and looked at it. Because my thing tonight is called urban legends. And it's not about what you're thinking, as I told you this right now. I'm going to be talking about urban legends of the Bible. And this is a series that I would like to do. And I'll tell you what, I'll get into some more of them here in a little bit, but I'll tell you, there's like six or seven of them I want to talk about. Tonight, I want to talk about one of them in particular, and I'll get to it here in a little bit. But you know what? You know, as you turn your Bible to 2 Timothy 4, 3, and 4, I want the preachers of the Lord's help on spiritual urban legends that are preached and taught across our lands today and in our churches. This is what I want to talk about. Urban legends. These are things that people talk about that they try to make out like they're the truth. But we need to dig into the Word of God to find out that they are not the truth. Because we have to take the whole Word of God as it is. We don't take one verse of Scripture, and we don't take that one verse of Scripture and make a total doctrine out of it. Because when you do this, it becomes an urban legend. And we're going to talk about here's some lists that I want to go to before I read it. Here's some of my list. He said, there are too many ways to God. I mean, this is one urban legend. There's a lot of different ways to God. That's one of them. God wants you happy. That's what I'm going to preach on tonight. That's an urban legend that I want to talk about in the Bible. God wants you happy. More than you can handle. That's another one that I feel is an urban legend in the Bible. That they tried to preach to us that, you know what, there's sometimes there's more than you can handle. Sin legends. And there could be more, which I might get into. I don't know. But I want to talk about the one that I told you about. God wants you happy tonight. God wants you. The Bible urban legend that I want to talk about is God wants you happy. Let's read 2 Timothy. Read 2 Timothy 4, 3, and 4, please. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's an urban legend. This is what we're going to talk about starting this evening. Let us pray. Father, as I come, Lord, this evening, I pray, Father, tonight that, Lord, that you would open up the hearts and minds here this evening, Lord, and that, Father, as we preach the Word of God this evening, I pray, Father, that we can see, Lord, that, Father, you know what? We need your Word in our lives. We need the truth of your Word. We need the Spirit to guide and direct that truth into our hearts, Lord, and, Father, we need it there to know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you are still God. And the Father, that through you and by you, the Father, all this Word that you've given us, Lord, that we take it in, Lord, we put it together, Lord, and the Father, by this, Lord, we know the will, the perfect will that you'd have for us in our lives. Amen? Amen. This is a spiritual legend, I think, one of the most dangerous, and yet it's one of the most common that is put out there today. That, you know what? That God wants you happy. He wants you happy at all costs. And it's one of those things that is preached out there. And I'll get into what I'm talking, the gist of it here in a little bit. You know what? You've read books about it. You will hear it over and over again. And it is a message that is a feel-good message, right? God wants you happy. He wants you happy no matter what. No matter what. God wants you happy. Here is the urban legend. It goes something like this. God wants you happy. God has good things in store for you. God wants you to enjoy your life. God wants you to prosper in every single way. The bottom line is, God wants you happy. He does. I call this message a theology of happiness, is what I call it. There are preachers out there that preach it. They call it prosperity messages. They call it all different manner of things. I mean, I think once I get into it, the danger is that whenever we evaluate us to point to where God is there to serve us, That's what happens. We elevate ourselves to that point that God is there to serve us, not us to serve God. And that's what happens sometimes when we get into this kind of theology. This theology has been put into our brains since our childhood. Do you understand that? It's been put there since the time we started reading fairy tales. It's been put there. Just look at our fairy tales. You'll always have it at the close of it with the same old famous line. Now, we all lived, say it with me, we all lived happily ever after. Been there since we've been kids, is it not? Has it not that been put into our minds? What if the story of Goldilocks and the three bears went something like this? Oh, Papa Bear says, Papa Bear says it like this. Who's been eating my porridge? Mama Bear says what? See, Mama Bear says, who's been sitting in my chair? And of course, Baby Bear comes along and says, well, she's here and she's sleeping in my bed. So Papa Bear's had a bad day, though. Papa Bear's had taxes he's had to pay. Papa Bear has had something going on in his life. So he goes in and he grabs Goldilocks with his paws and throws her up against the wall. And Mama Bear comes in, and she's mad too about what's going on. So they grab Goldilocks, and they just rip her to pieces. They throw her down the steps. I'm glad there's no kids in here. They throw her down the steps, and Baby Bear gets her and eats her for dinner. And the story ends, and the three bears live happily ever after. How would it have been if it had been like that? You know, that's not very uplifting, is it not? But then, you know what? But the truth of the matter is that sometimes stories don't end very well. Am I right? Stories don't end that way sometimes for people's lives. Yet there are those who want to keep preaching and to keep teaching that God wants you happy, feeling good, on top of the world, every single day and every single hour of your life. That's what God has, and that's what God will have for your life. That's what God... You will feel that way every single day. I want to ask everybody in here, and you're honest with me, I know you are. Do you feel like you're on top of the world every single hour of every single day? No. Has your life been this fairy tale of happily ever after all the time? No, it has not, has it not? And for me or any other preacher to stand up here and tell you that once you have God in your life, everything is going to be roses. You'll not have to work. You'll never get sick. You'll never have any trouble in your life. Do you know what that is? That's an urban legend, and that's a lie. And that's why I want to talk a little bit to you about the scene. We've all lived happily, and the scripture tells us for the time will come when men will not say, now say this with me, the time will come when they will not endure what? Sound doctrine. Say it out loud. Say it out loud with me again. The time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. So what's that telling me? You know what? I'm telling you what I feel in my heart's the truth right now. This is not a feel-good message to you in a way. I'm not up here telling you that it's all lollipops and gumdrops and all that kind of stuff in your life after you accept Jesus. Well, you know what? There are people that don't like to hear that. There are people that don't want to hear that. So you know what they do? They'll go to somebody that will tell them what they want to hear. This ain't the preacher for that. I'm not going to do that. If I feel that something that you're saying or something that you're doing, that I feel that it's not according to what I feel is God's word, I will not do that. I will tell you what I feel. And you know, you may not agree with me, but that's fine. That's fine. And the scripture tells us, and they will turn away from that. And they will say, now, I would love to tell you this. If you just come to God, you will have the best, you will have the best year ever. Everything works out. You will always be happy because God wants you happy. God only has good things in store for you. I'll tell you what God has in store for you. If you hang on to Him until you die, and you've got Jesus Christ in your heart, you're going to heaven one of these days. That's what God has in store for you. That's what He has in store. But what we do is I wrote this thought down. I think this is good. We believe that God revolves around us, and we reduce God to a method, to a holy Coke machine is what we do. Do you agree? That's what we do, because what we do, we go up and we put our quarters in the slot, and we say a prayer, and we pray to God, what pops out? You know, we push a button, and we're saying, we want this to pop out. What happens when it don't? What happens when it don't? You know what? I think of it this way. I go to the old Coke machine up work. I've seen guys do this up there, too. They go up in there. It's an RC machine, by the way. They put their money in it. They push the button, and nothing comes out. Do you know what those guys do? They grab that thing, and they shake it. They try to get the pop to come out of it. Lo and behold, it don't come out. You know that? Okay, what if you went up to the old Coke machine, and you wanted an orange? You pushed orange, and Diet Coke come out. Does it make you very happy? No. Be honest with me. Does it make you bad? I'm not saying you're a bad person because you get mad because you get diet because you get so old. I'm just telling you, it does not make you happy. What do people do whenever they go up to this to our God and treat Him like a Coke machine and say, God, I'm putting my time and effort in here. I'm doing this. And you know what? I'm putting it in there and I'm pushing a button. And you know what? I want you to answer my prayer. And it doesn't happen. Well, just like we are when we push that button on a Coke machine. We get upset, don't we? I've seen people do that. Yes, they do. They treat God like a Coke machine. If what we pray for doesn't come out of the slot, we blame God for what we do. Because there's something wrong. If God wants me happy, why ain't I happy? You see, this is what happens when we preach that kind of a thing. When we preach that kind of a doctrine. We preach that kind of an urban legend. Therein lies the danger of this very subtle and very seductive. It is, really. This urban legend. God wants you happy. If God really desires for me to be happy and I'm miserable, then God didn't deliver. Oh, how wrong you are. Oh, how wrong you are. You don't understand. You're not understanding the God that we serve. We're not understanding Him. God didn't do what I needed Him to do to make me happy. So even so much as everyone wants you to believe it. Listen to me. God wants you happy. God, everybody wants to tell you, God wants you prosperous. As often as you will hear that today, I'm going to submit something to you. There are at least three different times that I can prove to you in the Scripture, God doesn't want you happy. He doesn't want you happy. Whenever you're doing three different things in the Bible, and I want to go over these things. Number one, if you're taking notes, here's the first one. This is very, very true. Never forget this. God doesn't want you happy when it causes you to sin. Do you understand that? First Peter tells us in this, but just as He who called you is happy, so be you happy in all you do. Is that what that says? I didn't think that's what it says. First Peter, well, here, did I mess that up? Oh, I know I messed that up. Intentionally I messed it up. Here's what it says. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. That's what He says. Didn't say a word about it. If He who is happy calls you, you're going to be happy. It doesn't say that. You see, in God's spiritual economy of things, I want you to understand this. Your happiness is never the bottom line. Am I right? You say amen or amen. But our happiness is not God's bottom line in His spiritual economy. Listen, God never called us to sacrifice His standards in the name of happiness. Now, I hope that you won't miss the heart of this anyway. I want you to understand this also. Because I believe in all my heart that God is a good God. I believe that. Scripture says that He loves to give you good gifts to His children. And everything in me, I know that God delights in the happiness of His children. I understand that. I've got two kids and four grandchildren. There's nothing that does me any better, and I know that you folks have got kids, and have to make them happy whenever I can. Right? To make them happy. But if their happiness depends on me doing something wrong, they're not going to be happy. Let's take a 3-year-old, for example. I think of Ryan's. I know Ryan's little boy's a little older than 3 years old. But I think about this. And I know Ryan will understand this. But if you give that little boy cotton candy, and you're in a crowd of people. Let's just say he's in a crowd of people, and he's got cotton candy on his arms, on his hands, all over his face. You know how kids do with cotton candy. All right. There's this bald-headed guy sitting ahead of him. And he's got his hands on, and you see that look in his eyes. He's just getting ready to put his hands right down on top of that guy's head. Would you let him do it? Be honest with me. No. Oh, it'll make him happy? It's going to make him happy to let you do it? Let him do it. It's going to make him happy. What do you think, God? What do you think about us? Whenever God looks down at us, and we've got our hands all full of whatever we want, and we're getting ready to do something that we think is going to make us happy, and we expect God to sit there and just say, go for it, child. Go for it. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. I'm going to tell you what, folks. We have to understand. Our happiness is not God's bottom line when it's concerned whenever we want to sin to have happiness in our life. Would you let me? But at the expense of someone else, if it's not the right thing, no matter how much he wants to do it, how happy it'll make him, I don't want him happy if it causes him to sin. And neither does God want us to do that either. How does it play out? Let's just say it this way. In the church world, in everyday world, Scripture teaches us that if we are followers of Christ, you are part of the body of Christ, and that means the local church. That's what it means. God has something for you to do, to serve, to use your gift. You know what? In other words, if you are not serving and using your gift in a church, then something that God wants to get done is not being done. You say amen to that? You know what? And you know what we say, but in America, this is how it goes. This is how it goes in America, culture, that we hear it all the time. I don't want to do anything at church. I don't want to do that. I just want to go. I want to just go and enjoy the service. That's what I want to do. That's admirable, is it not? That's good. I just want to go enjoy the service. You know, occasionally, I don't want to do it. I just don't want to serve because I've been busy all week long. This is my life. I want to go and just be there. I don't want to serve because it's all about me. I want to be happy. So you tell me, is that not unlike that little 3-year-old kid who's wanting to put his hands down on top of something that he shouldn't when his hands are off? And you know what? And you're telling him, no, you can't do that. And God's trying to tell you, you know what? You need to go to church, yes, but you also need to serve. You also need to do things that are, because there's something that needs to be done. I could go on and on about how God does not want you happy if it causes you to sin. I got a lot of different things I go on about that, but we'll not get down that line anymore. Thought number two, God does not want you happy when it's driven by circumstances. Amen? Where does the word happy come from? It comes from happenings. That's where it comes from. And listen, if it comes from the word happenings, in other words, if you are happy if the happenings are right. But if your happenings around you are not right, you are not happy. Tell me where that is scriptural. I've never seen that in one part of the scripture. Your happiness, because everything around you, you're happy. But when everything's going wrong in your life, you're not happy. So there in turn, it's God's fault. Right? That's not the way it works. Ecclesiastes 7:14 tells us, in the day of prosperity, be joyful. But in the day of adversity, consider, God also has set this one over against the other to the end that men should find nothing after him. In other words, what's he trying to tell us? Your happiness is not based on what's happening in your life. Because you know what? There could be good days. Praise God for them. There could be bad days. Praise God for them also. But blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Blessed be the name of the Lord. God doesn't want you happy based on happenings. It's a bit like this. How about the story of the prodigal son over in Luke 15? Whenever, you know, it's about like this. I want you to listen. I know you've all heard this story before. Some might recognize themselves in it. Of course, the younger son had everything he could ever want. He had everything. But almost like everyone that I know in this country today, that wasn't enough, right? Wasn't enough. Yet, Father, I don't like your ways, your rules. Give me the share of everything. I want to go out and I want to do what I want to do. That's right. Which, as many of you as us do, God, I want to do what I want to do. There's what I tell you about the story about serving God, right? I want to do what I want to do. You know what? And I've said this here before. If your preacher, if me, would just come in here and just, you know what, not study the Word of God any, not do anything down through the week, and you know what, and I've told you this before, and I don't want you to feel sorry for me, but I'm telling you, I can spend as much as 8 to 10 hours a week trying to prepare sermons. What if I didn't do that? What if I just half-heartedly come in here and just did whatever I wanted to do down through the week and didn't care about you folks? How would that go? You would have the right to be upset at me. Amen. I agree. I would amen that. You'd have the right to be. I'll tell you what. And so the son went out and partied and he blew all of his money. He tried all these things and he did everything he thought was going to make him happy in the pursuit of happiness. He done everything. But he became miserable. We know that in the scripture. He became miserable. What do we see around us today? We see people trying to do everything that they can do to make themselves happy. I see it in my family. I see it at work. I see it even in the church world, believe it or not. They try everything. They try new cars. They try everything to make themselves happy. And when it gets right down to the root of it, they're just as miserable as you would ever get. Just as miserable. Why? Most of them discontent, most miserable people anywhere. Write this down, underline this. Like the prodigal in the pursuit of happiness, most people become miserable. It is all about what we want, not what God wants. Am I right? God doesn't want you happy when it's based on happenings. He doesn't want you happy. There's a deeper gift that God, listen, that God, a gift of joy and contentment that we can find in the life of Paul. I want you to read a verse that is fairly well known in Philippians 4:11-13. It says, "Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Can we say that wholeheartedly tonight? No matter what state you're in, to be content. And he goes on to say, "I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound, everywhere in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me." And listen to me. Those very words I just read to you there, you know Paul wrote them in prison, right? He was chained to a Roman soldier. There was going to be a decision made whether or not he was going to be executed or not. And Paul knew all this. And guess what he said? Guess what he said? For what I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Now tell me. You're not facing the executioner tonight like Paul was. Most of you have never probably been in jail. And if you have, like I know Ryan has said that he was in jail there. But you know, you... Paul was in jail for the rest of his life there, whenever he wrote this. Chained to a Roman soldier. Then consider his circumstances. And then he wrote this. Man, I'll tell you what, where's that put us at? Where are we at in that? Listen, understand that what we all want to believe, that God wants you happy, not always. He doesn't want you happy when it causes you to sin. He doesn't want you happy when it's based on your circumstances. He doesn't want you that. And number three, God doesn't want you happy as much as God wants you blessed. Do you understand that? He doesn't want you happy as much as He wants you blessed. I love the Greek for that New Testament. It's translated the word Makarios, and that's Makarios. And you know what that word means? It means to be supremely blessed. And I'll get into that a little bit more. It means to be supremely blessed. Literally, it means more than happy. He doesn't just want you happy. He wants you supremely blessed. He doesn't just want you happy. Do you understand that? If you're pursuing happiness, If you're pursuing that, you may be insulting the heart of God. Do you understand that? You may be insulting Him. Why are you shooting yourself for so low? Why are you doing that for? Why are you selling for something that doesn't last? Why are you pursuing something that is not even possible at all times? It was Jesus who said, in this world you will have troubles, but take heart. He said, I have overcome the world. And I've said this here before. There isn't a one of us in here who has not had troubles. And if you have not had them, you're going to have them. You're going to have them. It's just scriptural. And it's not only does it apply to us in Scripture, but folks, it should apply to our lives every day. God doesn't want you happy as much as He wants you blessed. Who is blessed? Let's talk about that. Psalms 112:1 says this: Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. Let's say this out loud. Blessed is the man who feareth the Lord. Say it with me. Blessed is the man who feareth the Lord. Right there you go. You want to be supremely blessed? Fear the Lord. Fear Him. Fear Him. And it goes on to say there, what else does it say right there at the end of that? He said, and that delighteth in His, what? His commandments, His Word. If you ask people today, are they blessed? Here's what you're likely to hear. Here's a praise word. God blessed me with a new Lexus. Oh, glory to God, right? Oh, I've got a brand new house. Oh my gosh, look at this. We've got new leather sofa in the house. God has blessed us beyond measure. Okay, all right. I got a raise, Well, I got money to spend. You know, okay, God bless. Who is more than happy? Let me show you what Jesus said in Matthew 5. Then you tell me if that lines up with what I just told you. And seeing the multitude, He went up into the mountain, and He said, this to His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth, and He taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they which that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and persecute you, and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. I didn't see one thing in her possession, did you? I didn't see one thing there. I didn't see one thing here about how much money we make. I didn't. But yet Jesus says, sometimes it's not happy ever after if we want to think sometimes. Am I right? But what I want to tell you is this. Here's what we do and do not. We do not go to Him to serve Him for our desires to make us happy. That's one thing we don't do. We don't go to God and say, God, you know what? I've got desires in my life that I need met, and You're the one that needs to meet them, and if it's not, I am not happy. That worked fine. That'll work fine every time, I'm going to tell you. Listen, we need to go to Him as a servant, true, and worship Him in spirit and in truth. That's how we need to go to Him. And as we enjoy Him, as we delight in Him, you know what? What He does is He gives us His desires. And you know what? When we have His desires in our heart, you know what? Praise God. You know what? That's why so many people use this scripture right here. They use this. It says Psalms 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Well, let me tell you something. Well, I, as a humble little preacher, believe that means. That means that whenever we are doing God's will in our life, He will put the desires that are right in our heart. And yes, He will give us those desires. But for you and I, or anybody else, to get down, like I said, and use God as a holy Coke machine, and say, listen, I'm going to push the button, I'm going to pray, Listen, God, I go to church. I pay my tithes. I pray. I do all those things. Now, I want you to answer my prayer, and I'm pushing the button, boom. Out pops a Diet Coke instead of an orange. And what do? We sit down and we blame God for everything that's not going right in our lives. Because why? Because we didn't get what we desired. You understand? We don't see the full picture. We don't see the big picture like God sees it. And we can't. One of these days, when we make it to heaven, folks, we can sit down with the one that has all the answers. And you know what? I'm not so sure we're even going to care what the answer is by the time we get there. Amen? Once we get there, I don't know if we'll even care by then. But praise God. Urban legend. God wants you happy. At all cost. That's an urban legend. And I want to tell you something, folks. Lord willing, I want to preach on some more of them on Sunday nights here down through the upcoming months. If Lord allows. If He allows. All right, they come and get a song.